So here's a question. Is yoga a yoga class if there's no meditation as part of the yoga class? We will get into that very shortly. It's a topic I'm very familiar with and very excited to talk with you about today. So welcome to this Life Masterclass podcast series where I teach a whole bunch of stuff that's going to serve you, enhancing your life and going to the next level. That's the thing. And we keep it as practical as possible, you and I. It's a beautiful day here in Bali, a bit cloudy, but other than that, a nice way to start the day. So I want to talk about yoga, and my background in yoga is that I started yoga back in the 1900s, 1999. So I've been doing it for a few years now. Read Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda a couple of times, read all of his books, read lots of different books on yoga, attended lots of different yoga classes, yoga retreats. I was a co-owner in a yoga center in Bali called The Practice, headed up by Octavio, and I was there for about 5 years. So I left that towards the end of 2019. So I've had a bit of exposure to yoga, and I'm very interested to share with you what I've garnered over the course of that and over the course of these podcasts too. I'm going to introduce and I'm going to bring in a conversation with Octavio, who was the founder of the yoga center I was a part of and has taught me a lot of stuff over the last 5+ years. And then I'm going to organize a conversation with one of Octavio's principal teachers, David Goulet, who's based in Thailand and has been doing yoga for more years than I've been alive. In fact, I think he started in the year that I was born. So there you go. So it'd be great to get him along and go deeper and deeper still. But what I wanted to talk about today is just the basics of what yoga is. So peeling it away, and I'm very much a traditionalist in some things, but I'm most interested in what of the practice we have the highest return on investment in a full spectrum sense. And what I mean by that is, because I'm so interested not only in physical health, but psychological, mental, emotional health. You know, my book, The Guidebook to Optimum Health, talked about why exercise and nutrition alone are not enough for optimum health for us to be optimized human beings. We've got to go deeper than that. So I'm interested in looking at practices and how practices are delivered so that we get the full return on investment, we get the absolute most from those practices. And that's why I say lean back towards a lot of the traditional practices. When it comes to yoga, I was having a conversation with a colleague yesterday, and his wife was asking me, oh, do you do yoga and do you do advanced yoga? Now that you've been doing yoga for many years, I bet you can do all these crazy postures and that sort of stuff. And I said, not so much. Like, I'm not so interested in busting the Insta moves, the yoga moves that you're sort of, you know, taking pictures of and posting up and drawing some attention to and getting some likes, all of that stuff, not interested. And in fact, a lot of the standing postures are pretty new. They're probably only 100 years or less, as far as age goes, in this yoga spectrum that spans over thousands of years, probably, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years. A lot of the practices didn't have these, you know, big fancy moves. And yoga wasn't necessarily a practice, and it's never been a practice for me to stay in shape. I don't do yoga specifically to stay in shape. It's a byproduct, and it's one of the full spectrum pieces that I get out of doing a yoga practice. But I don't go along to yoga to sweat, to work out, to build my muscles up, or any of that sort of stuff. Here's what yoga is from my understanding of my the teachings I've had, the stuff I've read. Yoga is about becoming a more awesome human being. So the yogis were, I call it the original science of happiness, where they were trying to understand what can we do in what ways, how can we move our body, how can I, you know, manage our mind, our brain, what can we eat, you know, how does vibration and different vibration affect our health, you know, whether it's mantras and different things. So many different layers that we're looking at. How can we be the most awesome human beings on this planet and go through this evolutionary process? You know, Abraham Maslow in his hierarchy of needs would call it, you know, self-actualize. At the top of the pyramid, we get to a point where we're self-actualized. And the yogis would, you know, call that enlightenment, getting to a place where we feel absolute oneness with everything around us. And there's zero reactivity and there's zero judgment and there's complete acceptance and all of these positive things. There's a lot of peace, calm, joy and love, all the stuff we would like to have more of. So the yoga practice was about how can we optimize ourselves. So, you know, a very basic formula was we move our body in a certain way. We do this, these things called asanas. So move our body in a certain way, and then we do this thing called shavasana. So I've moved our body, and then we do this shavasana, which is called corpse pose, just lying there. And what that corpse pose is doing is allowing the autonomic nervous system to reorganize itself, because those postures, those asanas, were very much in symmetry. So, you know, moving different sides of the body in symmetry, so bringing more coherence to the brain, more communication between right and left hemisphere of the brain. So all of that stuff, we've moved our body in that way. Now we need to lay down and let that integrate into the autonomic nervous system. Now we've done that, and you know, a good shavasana, corpse pose at the end of a yoga session or towards the end of a yoga session might be, you know, anything from 3 to 7 minutes, depending on how long your class is. Once we finish that shavasana, we might then do some breath work, and that breath work in yoga is called pranayama. Now, pranayama, we're using the breath to connect to consciousness. We're using the breath to take our attention inwards. We're using our breath to ensure that we're not distracted out there. Our breath takes us inwards. Our breath starts influencing the autonomic nervous system, starts, you know, activating more of the parasympathetic nervous system, getting us out of the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight, bringing us back into this really calm, centered, grounded place. So we're doing the breath work to bring us back into there. And when we start doing that breath work too, we're starting to bring coherence to the body. Coherent heart, coherent mind. So we start, you know, getting out of monkey mind and start bringing this calmness. All of this is leading us up to the principal piece of yoga. Yoga is about this meditative peace. That's the jewel of yoga, is our ability to like sit there or lay there, however we're doing this meditative practice. It's our opportunity to commune and connect with something greater than ourselves. So that's the purpose of yoga. We do these things. We do the asana, the movement. We do the shavasana, the corpse lying still integration. We do the breath work, integrate, bring inside, bring coherence, in order for us to sort of sit there in this meditation, so we can commune and connect with something greater than ourselves. We can connect our individual consciousness, you know, with the consciousness of the absolute, the universe. Our quantum physicists would call it the unified quantum field, this intelligent consciousness, loving intelligent consciousness. So that's the pathway of yoga. It really is to become these elevated, evolved human beings that do this meditative work, and the byproducts of the meditation work, and I've done podcasts on meditation before, so you can have a look for those, or I'll put some links down below. The aim, or the byproducts of meditation, is it allows us to have more stability, it allows us to have more focus, it allows us to have more creativity. It allows us to be less distracted. It allows us to be able to direct our willpower. It allows us to optimize the use of our brain when we're problem solving. It allows us to not be reactive to things happening around us, in order for us then to tap into wisdom and come up with the response that is right for that particular situation in that particular time. So meditation is all of those things. So you know, I've been meditating daily for 10 plus years, and it's one of the most powerful things I do. And, you know, the yoga part of it, this is the biggest part of yoga, and those other things are preparing us for it. So busting big moves and, you know, tucking your legs up behind your head and, you know, doing these different things, they don't necessarily make you a more awesome human being, which is what the idea of yoga was. So if someone's doing yoga and that's not making them more happy, more joyful, more calm, more stable, less distracted, more focused, if it's not doing those things, your yoga probably isn't delivered in the best way possible. Let me just say that without poo-pooing anyone's yoga classes. When you go into a yoga class, the things you want to be looking for is there, you know, good asana that makes sense, that integrates well? Is there a good period of that corpse pose to allow the integration of that physical movement that you've done? Is there breath work, that pranayama, a piece and part of the experience? And is there meditation? Does this close out the loop of this yoga class by a meditation practice? Now, that meditation practice, you know, given classes, you know, don't have the ability to be super long if you've got a busy life, that meditation practice might be 5 minutes at the end of that yoga class. But, you know, that brings it all together. And that means that when you leave that class, you're not sort of supercharged from doing these crazy postures and having blood flowing up and down and all of that sort of stuff. You actually finish by doing this, you know, deeper meditation, and you leave with this deep sense of calm, this deep sense of peace, this deep sense of connection to self, this increased self-awareness, this more attuned to the physical body, the inner physical body, more attuned to the senses, more attuned to the emotions. So that's what yoga is for me. Now, don't get me wrong, the physical practice is extremely beneficial and a great for us to understand the inner landscape. So for me, the physical practices, if they're too active and not allowing me to slow down and take my attention inwards and get a better sense of my physical body. You know, I do the physical practice, and I think the beginner element of yoga is us getting to be better, have a better understanding, a better awareness of our physical body. So we do these moves and we like want to understand more about our physical body. And then we start going deeper and deeper. We understand, oh, what's coming up for me? What's that feeling? What's that feeling represent? And I don't know what that feeling represents if I don't have good attunement to my body, if I can't feel and hear and experience and sense the messages that my body's providing for me. So that's the benefit of the physical element of yoga. Well, one of the benefits, obviously I talked about, there's alignment, there's attunement, there's this movement of different sides of the body, which is creating that connection and communication between the right and left hemispheres of the brain via the corpus callosum. So there's all of those things. There's the movements where we might stay in a movement for a longer period of time, and we're overcoming the psychological piece, which is telling us, I want to stop this. This is starting to be uncomfortable. So the physical element is great for us to get used to, you know, leaning up against discomfort and staying there in the discomfort and not running away. So again, that's the benefit of doing the physical yoga, and therefore it doesn't need to be these crazy moves. One of my favorite yoga practices, which I teach my clients, is a practice I've been doing every Wednesday morning for the last 3+ years. And it's a Himalayan yogi practice. And it's got like only about 5 or 6 different postures, but they're held for longer periods of time. And while we're holding those postures, we're doing particular breath work. We imagine breathing into places where we're breathing, breathing out as that air blows, cools down our brain. So the more advanced yoga isn't necessarily more advanced physically as far as doing more technically difficult moves. more advanced yoga might be holding postures for longer. And while you're holding those postures, you're doing specific breathing patterns and specific meditative practice inside that. So you might be doing specific visualization work. You might be seeing, sensing, feeling a particular thing happening while you're doing that posture. So it's more advanced because you're not just holding that posture. You're not just holding that posture for an extended period of time, but while you're holding that extended period of that posture, you're doing breath work, plus you're doing this visualization work internally. That can be a more advanced process, an advanced class. So again, I just wanted to bust up the myth about this idea that more advanced yoga is more crazy moves. And that might turn some people off yoga because they go, oh, I can't do those moves, so yoga isn't for me. I'm not flexible enough to do yoga. Push all that stuff aside and find a good, solid practice. Like I, follow a Hatha yoga practice, a traditional Hatha yoga practice. And that is more grounded, more stable. Yoga at the practice that Octavio teaches, he has a system of moon, sun, fire. And these different practice groups are doing, so moon practice is more grounding. So they're a really great practice. And the sun and fire practice is doing different things again. But again, bringing it down, slowing it down. So yoga doesn't have to be a super physical workout. You can have a great experience in yoga without raising a sweat at all. So I'm not necessarily sold on the idea of the sweat rooms for yoga because, yoga taught in India, and I've, been to India a few times, you do yoga according to the season. So you're there in wintertime, it's cold. In different parts of India, you're there in summer, it's hot. You don't have to create a specific environment for it. You attune yourself to the environment. Your practice, attunes and might slightly differ based on the environmental exposure that you're having. I could rant and rave and talk a lot more on yoga, no doubts about it. And if you have any questions on yoga, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'd be happy to answer that. And like I said, I'm going to organize a conversation, a longer conversation, a deeper conversation with people more expert than me in yoga, Octavio, and then Octavio's teacher, David Goulet. So keep an eye out for those. And to keep an eye out for those, I recommend you sign up for my newsletter. So go to my website, sign up to my newsletter. You can get a free copy of my audio book, The Guidebook to Happiness, if you sign up there. And then you'll get a weekly newsletter from me, and where I'll let you know about podcasts coming up as well. So make sure you sign up for that, and please share. If you're watching this on YouTube, push the subscribe button. And I'm not a big fan of the notification button, so you don't feel any need or compulsion to do that if you're watching that there. So thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. I hope that that's given you a little bit better sense about yoga, what it is, what it isn't, this traditional versus the modern element and aspect of it, so that you can get even more out of it. And like I said, get the biggest return on investment, full spectrum experience, and be more selective about knowing, or more attuned in knowing which is a better yoga class to do. Does it have the elements that I've spoken about here? So on that note, I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic day. I hope you are having a fantastic day. I hope you have a fantastic day wherever you are on this beautiful, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours. All the very best, and take care.